BFBS,
the Forces Station.
Well, I wanted to ask you, look, considering, you know, you are a huge name.
Finally, someone has acknowledged my presence in the industry. Go on. What was the question? I was already thrilled with being a big name.
Well, considering you very rarely shy away from tough topics, me and Si were curious what sort of topics you're doing this year and if you change them depending on which country you go to.
No, I write quite an international show now. It's kind of an interesting thing. I think comedy lives between public and private discourse. So there's conversations that you will see on BBC News, and the way that people talk and the way that politicians talk. And then there's the way people talk with their friends. And they're really different, right? There's that kind of Overton window of what's acceptable speech. And I think comedians are kind of the canaries in the mine of saying, what are people really interested right now? What do people want to talk about? That's where you kind of go to. So it changes, but slowly over time, what you talk about changes. But it's like, it's a live wire. People are even bringing it up. But then it's got to be funny enough. You've got to have something to say about it. You've got to have something to kind of to add. It can't just be the obvious. You're not going for clapter. You know, when people kind of perform and they're just saying, what do the audience want to hear? What do we all agree on? Oh, Trump's the worst. Okay. I'm not particularly interested in that. It's like, where can I take people that they're going to laugh and then go, I can't believe I laughed at that.
Yeah, we know, Jimmy, that you and other comedians have been, well, critical of people who take offence too easily and people who want to cancel others and say, look, you have to hush on those certain topics. But are there themes that even you try and steer clear of or are wary of approaching?
Not really. I mean, I think the thing is there's, you know, free speech is real and it's very important and we have it. I mean, cancel culture, what is was ever thus. There's always been people being shunned. You have to right size it. Occasionally, I tell a joke and some people don't like it. That's it. That's all that happened because that's the one that affected them. The other 50 topics that were just as offensive that didn't affect them. And sometimes it's like it catches fire and it blows up and it becomes viral and a thing. And you've got free speech, but it's not free of consequence. You've got to be willing to take it and say, okay, well, some people are upset. It tends to be people at the show aren't upset. It'd be a very bad business model to try and upset people in your audience. You know, I'm trying to make people laugh first and foremost, and I'm trying to walk a line and push the envelope. Well, you push the envelope for 25 years, there's going to be some paper cuts. That's all right.
Yeah, and like we know that obviously we've talked about things like tickets for troops before, but the military have got one heck of a sense of humor. Do you know if you've had much military come to your shows, whether that be American or British?
Yeah, I mean, there's a similar tickets for troops thing in the States. It's a very important thing because I don't know if we take care of the military well enough. It's often said, but it's, you know, and politicians kind of talk about it, but there's a recruitment crisis. We need to kind of do better on that because when the news is really bad, that's when you notice, oh yeah, having a military is a good idea. Like sometimes people don't see it. Some people can't see the point of it, or they think that is, you know, oh, well, wouldn't it be better if we all had peace? Because yeah, but having a military is absolutely essential to peace. It transpires through the whole of human history.
Yeah, and looking at things like heckling, very iconic for your shows, like in the comebacks that you give.
Yeah.
We wanted to ask you about the most brutal audience when it comes to heckling, but also if there's ever been any heckles that have actually hurt, or do you never take them seriously?
Intent is very important at a comedy show. So you wouldn't shout that kind of stuff to someone in the street. There's an intimacy in being incredibly rude to someone. There's a friendship there where you can say anything to someone and it really feels like this is very special. So I like it. I mean, I like it when people shout. The people in the audience are not professional comedians, so sometimes they'll misjudge it a little bit and it'll just come across as mean. But even that, you can spin into something fun. It's a lovely thing to feel like you found your audience. And, you know, I travel the world now. People come out and they laugh at this sense of humor that I have. And, you know, they get it. And then when they try and join in, it's a similar kind of wavelength that we're on. And it feels like we're friends. Because who do you laugh with? Family and friends.
And who's the most brutal audience, Jimmy?
I mean, it depends. I think it's more nights of the week rather than location. I do early and late shows on my tour. So, you know, 7 in the evening, people are slightly more polite. 9:30, people have had a drink already. So Glasgow on a Saturday, that can be a bit like, oh, okay, there's been some day drinking and you can sense it in the room. I suppose it's testing that thing of like, if someone can't take a joke, it's like the worst thing you could say about someone.
Yeah.
So people are often, it's that kind of teasing and it's a way of kind of testing your friendships and the boundaries. It's nice.
Do you have much downtime? And if so, what are you doing to chill out in between shows?
My problem is that work is more fun than fun. So, you know, I've got a job telling jokes, traveling the world. What are you going to do on a night off? I mean, it's lovely. You have sort of time at home, but then you kind of, you go, it gets to 8 in the evening, you go, I'm getting no attention. You know, I'm sure it's that thing of the adrenaline rush of what you do. I imagine, I mean, not that I'm like a military man, but if I come back off a tour of duty and go, everything feels like it's in black and white when you're not doing that thing that you love.
And are you worried about AI at all? So many people are concerned about AI taking certain jobs and things. Are you paying any attention to that? Or do you think we're just making a bit of a mountain out of a molehill?
No. Who's worried about AI? AI is a covers band, and we're very impressed by the covers band, right? We're impressed. The Beatles are not worried about the bootleg Beatles, are they? Right? It's never come up with anything, but it can give you like a in the style of. I wouldn't even be worried about it generating material. The time I'd get concerned about AI is when it starts laughing at jokes. That's what the Turing test should be. Not can it fool us? We're easy to fool. If you've ever seen a close-up magician, you'll know human beings are pretty easy to fool. There's no real magic. Those are all just tricks.
We've talked about you being on the road, and you mentioned about how maybe you don't have that much time for TV. So if you don't mind me asking, what music are you into?
I mean, very, very much indie rock and roll and everything new. I mean, probably my favourite band is The Killers, fabulous back catalogue. But that thing of like, I always listen to new stuff. I think there's a weird thing where we go for old music and new movies. And it's because you want the dopamine of the new story. That's what you get from new movies. And you get serotonin from listening to music's familiar. And if you twist that on its head and watch old movies and listen to new music, I think it's better. It's more of an effort to listen to music that's new. But I constantly am updating a playlist of kind of new stuff that I find interesting.
Do you get many people, Jimmy, on social media or approaching you in the streets trying to test out their amateur material on you or ask you for, you know, your favorite jokes?
Yeah, people do come up and tell me jokes on occasion. I always think it takes a brave man, so I always try and be as polite as possible. But sort of part of the problem with this job is I just say, look, just give me the setup. I'll be able to work it out. I do this full time. I take it quite seriously. It's a lovely thing. I mean, it makes the world a very friendly place as well. People do often ask for jokes, but I kind of think out of context, it's like, come and see a show.
Right.
And Si, I know why you've asked that, by the way. I can't believe you asked that question.
Has he got a joke? Tell us a joke. Well,
we had a message in from a listener, and we think it's one of the best jokes we've ever heard. And I think he just wants to, well, I think that. And I think he just wants to prove me wrong a little bit.
Give me the setup, and we'll see if I can work it out.
What do you call a psychic little person who has escaped from prison?
Small, medium, and large.
How did you? That's so good.
No, it's a great joke. It's a great joke. It's kind of a twin of another joke about a guy escaping. What's the joke? It's a guy escapes from a lunatic asylum by hiding in the, I think it's the laundry basket, and the laundry lady lets him get out of prison. And it's something like nut, screws, bolt, and leaves. You can see how they wrote as well. They kind of reverse engineered the, okay, nuts, bolts, screws. Okay, we can make something. They're fun to do. They're like, it's kind of, if you get into jokes, they're kind of like crossword puzzles where you're trying to work out, oh, okay, what are the pieces in this?
Why do ducks have feathers?
Why do ducks have feathers? Go on.
To cover their butt quack?
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yes!
That's a very good. That's nice. Their butt quack.
I don't know if we can say that actually on air, but I'm just so happy that I made you smile.
We can't say butt quack. You know, you're in the military, yeah?
Yeah, and speaking of their humour, you're going to Malaysia in the new year and you're not going to be far away from Brunei.
No, but I mean, I'm not sure whether they can commandeer a battleship to cruise across for the evening to see me. Maybe they can.
Oh, I think they would for you.
Maybe a submarine will pop up. They're certainly more than welcome.
Well, I was going to ask, as we look ahead, of course, to 2024, what your message would be, Jimmy, for serving personnel around the world?
Well, I mean, I suppose it's that thing of stay safe. But really, you don't do a safe job. It's that thing of gratitude, of going, all that we have, the idea that there is freedom of speech in the UK, the idea that we do live in this incredibly safe society, and who are we grateful to? Who's protecting us from the barbarians at the door? And the military do an incredibly important job, and it doesn't really get spoken about in those terms. People talk about it in very sort of limited ways of going, you know, this conflict or that conflict, and people only really think about it in wartime, but there's so much that goes on all the time. It's so important that we have it. So yeah, incredibly grateful. Keep doing what you're doing.
BFBS, the Forces Station.